Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, shapeshifters. There is something about a shapeshifter, a person who can transform into an animal internally or externally, that captures our imagination. It causes us to want to howl at the moon or flit through the night like a bat. Werewolves, vampires, demons, other strange supernatural creatures appeal to our animal nature, our dark side, our desire to break free of our bonds of society and proper behavior. Real or imaginary, shapeshifters lurk deep in our psyches and remain formidable cultural icons. Today, we dive into the world of shapeshifters, what they are, and how they affect society. It's a conversation with author John Kashuba.
Basically, you know, as you know, I've done a lot of work with ghost books and things like that.
Sure.
And it seems like every time I do a talk about ghosts, somebody in the audience has a question that when I hear it, I think, you know, they're really not talking about a ghost. They're talking about shapeshifters. And my classic understanding of shapeshifters was sort of the werewolf, vampire kind of stereotype that we all know. But I started looking into it because I thought there must be more behind it. And when I started doing that, I mean, I found shapeshifters from antiquity, from prehistoric times, you know, all the way up to today, from cultures all around the world, and an entire range of types and characteristics of shapeshifters. So it was far beyond just the werewolf and vampire. And it just was so fascinating. I thought, you know, I've got to write about this. There's just too much here.
Sure. I mean, when you think of things like werewolf or vampire, it conjures up not a lot of seriousness for most when you're thinking of ghosts or paranormal, as serious as that world can get. A lot of that is still looked upon as, well, that's, you know, fairy tale. That's something that, you know, maybe there have been people who have sucked people's blood, but not necessarily, you know, your true, you know, in the castle, Dracula, and yes, Dracula existed, but not the personified cartoon version that we think about. You know, same with werewolves. You know, some will go into that world of cryptids, and there's more Bigfoot things like that that are talked about. But as far as the, you know, mythical werewolf, the mythical vampire, things of that nature, what, you know, what were you thinking going into this as far as the, I guess, validity of some of these characters being something?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, validity is a tricky word.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the same thing as real.
Sure.
Or unreal. You know, and what I found out was that, yes, there is sort of the popular culture of the old, you know, the original Lon Chaney Jr. Wolfman movie right up to today, and the Bela Lugosi Draculas up to today, and mm-hmm. the vampires and things like that. But in looking at this, Tony, what I found out was that shapeshifters were very, again, I will say, real for a lot of cultures. If you look back in ancient mythology, if you look back in Greek and Roman culture, so many of their gods and goddesses were capable of shapeshifting. And to us, yeah, these are stories. These are like, you know, myths, as we say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the people of the time, this was not mythology. These were not myths. These were their gods and goddesses. This was fact. This was religion for them.
Yeah.
So for them, the idea of shapeshifting was very much a real thing. It exists in a lot of cultures today, especially some of the more indigenous cultures in different countries. You have things like the skinwalkers among the Native Americans in the Southwest here. I've got a lot of stories in my book from Africa and India and places where, you know, kind of remote locations where people are having experiences and witnessing events that they say are shape-shifting events and shape-shifting experiences. So the validity of it, if you want to call it that, is there. Mm-hmm. There is certainly that popular culture. Yeah, okay, it's a funny kind of werewolf. You know, I think of,
sure,
what was that movie? I was a teenage werewolf,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Which, yeah, I mean, that was funny. It was campy. You know, okay, no one buys into that. But what do you do with stories reported, like even in the New York Times, about werewolves in India?
Sure.
You know, and I have that story in my book. I mean, so there is something there other than just this sort of, I don't want to say even comic, but sort of this make-believe attitude about them. Like, oh yeah, they're just fairy tales and stories. There is some underlying documentation. I don't want to say truth, but documentation under that.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because in many cultures, many religions, many belief systems, there are stories of just that, of shape-shifting people, things, events, where that happens. And that's a lot of times where it ends. It is in the literature, the mythology, the canon, whatever you want to call it, of said thing that you're looking at. Where was it that when you were looking into this that you started to see, okay, this goes beyond the canon of a certain religion or a certain belief system? I'm starting to find some evidence. I'm starting to find some interesting stories here that take it beyond just the long ago lore that is passed down from generation to generation, but more so, oh no, this happened. You know, when we say recent times, we can open up that window to the last, you know, 100, 200 years, you know, but what were you finding in that sort of a time window?
Well, there were two things. One thing that I found, as you say, even in the last, 100 years, maybe to 200 years, like late 19th century, mid 19th century, up to probably, early 20th century, documented cases that I put in my book, Shapeshifters, about people who were convinced that they had converted into some kind of animal, primarily a wolf. So they're called, lycanthropes. And they were actually suffering from a disease that psychiatrists now call lycanthropy. But these were people who, some of them were violent. Some of them would attack people, believing entirely that they were in wolf form. And would go around, on all fours. They'd be growling. They'd snap. They'd eat like animals, and obviously most of these people ended up in mental hospitals, and some of them committed crimes in that sort of guise. Although, you're looking at them, nothing happens that we can see, but somehow internally they've done this. So somehow the whole shapeshifter mystique, if you will, had entered into our global consciousness to the point where some people, albeit maybe with a disturbed mentality, took on that persona and said, yes, this is me. I'm a shapeshifter. I'm now a wolf, So that was one thing. But the second thing that I alluded to a little bit earlier was when I started doing some research and getting reports from, Africa and India and even, England, places like that, within the last probably 50 years of documented sightings where people have actually seen not just maybe seeing something that looked like a wolf man, running in the distance or something, but actually had close-up experiences where they saw, or said they saw, actual transformations. And I can think of a story from Africa, and I cannot remember the country, unfortunately. It's in my book. I think it may have been Kenya, but, people, when they get shapeshifters, can look it up and find out for themselves. But the story, and this was reported in the newspapers, was that there was a guy in a small village who woke up one night because he heard sort of scratching and banging on his door of his hut. And he opened it, and he found this large bat, a sort of giant-sized bat, not man-sized, but an extremely large bat, hanging from the rafters or over the door. And, he was frightened, and he grabbed a stick or a club, and he started just, wailing away at this thing, beating it, and it flew off. He got the villagers up and aroused and said, hey, we got to go get this thing. And they chased after it. They found it straggling sort of across the ground. It looked like he had, severely wounded it. And they surrounded it, and it just kind of dropped and laid still. And the story says, the newspaper account says, that as they watched it, as they stood there looking at it, and by the way, the guy with the club whacked it a couple more times just to make sure, but they said that as they stood there watching it, They said it transformed. They said at first it looked like it was transforming into a donkey, but they said no, it started to transform into what looked like a child, and then that even metamorphosed more into finally transforming into an old man. And they recognized the old man as being sort of their local shaman or wise man of their village. So according to the report, I mean, these people saw this transformation. The guy, and of course, unfortunately, this poor guy was dead. So the man who killed him went to trial and was convicted for killing him. But the judge had an interesting little comment, and he said that, you know, you should have been able to know the difference between a man and a bat. And apparently he didn't. But, you know, here's a case where you had people, whether we believe it or not, you know, it's reported in the newspaper, people saw this and they swear by that. And there was a similar story in the New York Times about some incidents in a remote area of India called Uttar Pradesh. It's kind of a remote province, I think, up in the northern part of India, pretty close to, I think, like the Pakistani border. And they were saying that up there, as many as 33 children disappeared, just seemed to disappear. And people were saying that they were seeing what they were describing as kind of a wolf man in the area, and they were attributing it to that. Hysteria broke out, and they actually lynched 25 different villagers that they thought were practicing witchcraft and were transforming themselves into wolves to snatch these children. New York Times went there, and they talked to people, and they got firsthand reports from like a 10-year-old girl who said that she saw her little 4-year-old brother, she saw something that she described as a wolf, grab her brother, throw him over its shoulder, and run off on two legs with the kid. So these are stories that are reported, you know, in the paper, that people are witnessing this kind of stuff. I have no idea what they're seeing or what they're reporting, but, you know, when I read things like that, I say, okay, something is going on. I can't claim to know what it is, but there is definitely something happening.
A lot of facets here that we should unpack. I want to ask first kind of what we were just talking about. And I know this is just an opinion-based question, but we're talking about shape-shifting, and quite often it sounds like it's a living being that is having this happen to them. It's not necessarily just there's this entity that comes out of nowhere and does it, although in some cases that is what happens. I guess the question is, what causes shape shifting when we're talking about a living being, someone who is a person, who is the story you said earlier of the kind of the local, the older gentleman who shape shifted into a bat and then was killed and then the man went to trial. Is it the practice of something? Is there something else? What's your thoughts on that?
Right. And I wish I had a good answer, but I can give you an illustration that might help. There's a man here in Northern Ohio named Guy Savelli. And Guy is a master of kind of an obscure martial arts. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a pretty, you know, small practice of martial arts. But he's a master in this stuff. And in fact, he's worked with special forces, with some of the special ops, Navy SEALs teams, things like that, to teach them the martial arts. But he also does a lot with mind control. And there was a book that came out that was later made into a movie. And the book was titled, I may get it a little bit wrong, but something about the men who stare at goats.
Okay.
Yeah, and the idea was that there was a team actually being trained by the U.S. military to do mind control. And Guy Savelli was the person who was leading this thing. And supposedly he was able to knock a goat down from 50 yards away while he was in another room entirely, but just with his mind.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.